Blog Talk Radio.
To the people and the Gentiles, Tommy Hart, the one the authorized version ascribes the name Lord God is Real, appears among us with great news. A former preacher of the church and author of the Book of the Law of God, All Things, the Demonstrated Power of God, Lord God would like to share what he has discovered during what is now a 39-year study of the Authorized Version Bible, also known as the King James Bible, coming from the Vatican. He comes to show Bible truths that have been hidden throughout Bible content. Lord God is Real decrypts all things kept silent and in secret inside the pages of the AVB, aka the KJV, all with a level-headed, easy-to-follow analysis unlike any other. His Excellency logically restructures the AVB's confusing text and separates the subject matter into two categories, truth and fiction. He also defines with clarity what is meant by the terms Lord, in all caps, Christ, God, many other titles, and who claims them now in this day. His Majesty concludes, the Authorized Version Bible, written in the year 1611, is primarily a law book, a history book, a legal document, and the first law between the Pope of Rome, the papacy, and the Gentiles. In other words, those who are classified as white people. Knowing the AVB, written during the conquest of Africa, Lord God exposes the many laws of the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, which include the law of Passover, the law of God, and the law of the curse carried out on African black people worldwide. It is established the Vatican is a governmental body institution hiding in plain view under the cloak of religion. Lord God is here because the Vatican called for him in the pages of the AVB. So without further ado, it is with great enthusiasm I bring before you the host of the show. Please join me in a warm round of applause, the magnificent Lord God is Real.
I have spoken on statements with reference to the Spirit, such as statements coming from Romans 8 and Galatians 5. Let me remind you, in Galatians 5:16, it is written, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. I spoke on that statement, and I made this statement, if you say you are walking in the Spirit, then you are implying that you do not eat, you do not wear clothes, etc. You do not have sexual desires, because you say you are walking in the Spirit. Verse 18, Galatians 5. But if you be led of the Spirit, notice the word if. Now watch this. The churchgoers, those who say they are Christians and they go to church, they are not led by the Spirit or by a spirit. They are led by men, women, people. Look at it for what it is worth. They are not led by a spirit. Okay? It says, if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. First of all, you are not led by the Spirit. Secondly, you are under the law. You are under the law of God. Right? And I spoke about verses 19 and 20, you know, 21, works of the flesh, and then 21 and 22, where it goes on to speak about love, joy. I spoke on all that. Okay, so all you have to do is just review the episode. All right. Now, verse 25, Galatians 5, says, if we live in the Spirit. In 18, it said, if you be led of the Spirit, but you are not led by a spirit, you are led by human beings, people. Now, verse 25, if we live in the Spirit, we do not live in a spirit. We live in a body. I'll read the full statement. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Can I draw an implication there? Can I draw an inference? If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. We do not live in the Spirit. So, you cannot walk in the Spirit. There is no walking in the Spirit. You know, to many, the Spirit talk sounds good. Sounds good. But does it really sound good? Is it plausible? I've already said, you are not led of a spirit. You are led by human beings. And you do not live in a spirit. You live in a body. A body of flesh. Those who teach and do the spirit talk, they themselves are in a body. And they themselves are led by a body or a thing, but it is not a spirit. Now, let's look at Romans 8. In Romans 8, I read the statement. Let me start with verse 4, Romans 8. Well, verse 2, let's look at that. I might as well read this too, starting with verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. I've already spoken about that. Okay, and I will speak on it again, this walking after the Spirit. What does that mean? For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. I've spoken about how that Jesus is a fictitious character. A fictitious character. Right. And how that religion, Christianity, is built upon lies. The Christian ministers do not teach the gospel of Jesus, which is found in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Right. They preach another gospel, another Jesus. Because the Jesus of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is a criminal. And it is clear what laws he breaks. The fictitious character. It is very clear. It is also clear in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John that their character, Jesus, was put to death for his own sins, for his own crimes. Of breaking the law. own sin. Okay. Now, reading on. Verse 4, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. In Matthew, the statement says, there's a statement that says, it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness, to do, to perform. We must know what that, what things are to be performed. And I have spoken on that. I have read the law. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. The statement goes on, though, saying, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Remember, we've read the statement, if you be led of the Spirit. And if you live in the Spirit, and I said, you are not led by the Spirit or a Spirit, and you do not live in a Spirit, you live in a body of flesh. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Go back and read the last, study the last two episodes of Lawmaster, the two that precede this episode. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because carnal mind is enmity against God. If that's so, is that a fact? Is that a natural fact? For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But I've told you and shown you how that they that are in the flesh can please God. They can do the things contained in the law that are applicable to them. They have the capacity to please God. That is God, who is Tommy L. Hart. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. You are in the flesh. You are not in a spirit. Listen, it goes on to say, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Okay. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's not here. Drop down to verse 12. And I've spoken how that God does not dwell in you. You may have the knowledge coming from the Lord God, Tommy L. Hart, in you. But God does not dwell in you, the people. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, ye shall die. But all men die, whether you live after the flesh. And what does that mean? Or whether whether they say they live after the flesh or after the Spirit. All men die. For if we live after the flesh, ye shall die. If ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. I know of no one who has everlasting life. All men die. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Even God teaching. You are led by the words of God. You are led by God. That is, if you are allowing yourself to be led by God, you are led by a person. God is a person. person of God is Tommy L. Hart, the man having the designation of God in the Authorized Version, Bible commonly called King James Version. I have spoken. Let's see. It is determined already that you are in the flesh, and you being in the flesh can perform the things written in the law of God, Tommy L. Hart, and please the one and only true God, the Lord Tommy L. Hart. Statements of concern. Let's start with Galatians 5:16. I believe I read that. Yes, I read that. If you, ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Let's go on to 2 then. If you live in the spirit, walk in the spirit. I spoke on that. You do not live in a spirit. You live in a body. 3, Romans 8:12, that is not to the flesh to live after the flesh. Let's look at that statement. That's Romans 8:12. Live. If you live in the spirit, walk in the spirit, that is not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. So what is this after the flesh? What does that mean? I'm turning my pages here. After. One definition for after is in spite of. If you, let's read the scripture and apply that definition. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. We are debtors not to live in spite of the flesh. We are debtors not to the flesh to live in spite of or in opposition to the flesh. For if you live after or in opposition to the flesh, ye shall die. Remember I said, if you say you are in the spirit, you're walking in the spirit, then don't eat. If you do what you say, those of you, those who say they are walking in the spirit, if they do what they say, they'll die prematurely. But they don't do that. People tell lies. They tell lies. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live in spite of, to live in opposition to the flesh. Get that statement. The inference there is we are debtors to live in agreement with the flesh, in accordance with the flesh, in agreement with the flesh. The flesh tells you, gives you signs of and symptoms of diseases, sickness, illnesses, and all like that. You should pay attention to it. You must pay attention to the flesh, because if you don't, you can die prematurely. And this is what that statement is saying. It is not telling you you don't owe the flesh anything. I'll read it again. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live in opposition to or in spite of to your body. Listen to your body. Am I saying be a fool and be foolish and all? No. I am speaking to intelligent people. I believe that. I believe you are intelligent. I believe you have good common sense. The people I'm talking to, the people who are listening to me, I believe that. I do not believe I am speaking to fools. So don't say I am saying, you know, just live recklessly, carelessly, you know, if it feels good, do it, and all like that. No, I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that. I'm saying use sense. Use good sense and sound judgment, because you are intelligent and you are capable of doing that, using good sense and sound judgment, making the right decisions. You're capable of doing that. Do it. Okay, so I wanted to get that straight there. But you do owe your flesh some attention. You owe it attention. And don't let anyone, again, mislead you on this scripture, Romans 8:12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live in spite of or in opposition to live fighting your flesh. Who wants to fight his own flesh? Religion can cause some people to do anything, things that are not good for them to do. Religious rhetoric. You owe your flesh proper attention. We are debtors to live in accordance with and in agreement, listening to the flesh, providing for the flesh the proper things, the needed things. You owe yourself that. For if you live in spite of the flesh, you shall die. As I said, you can die prematurely if you live in spite of it, if you don't listen to your body. If you don't check out symptoms, go to see a doctor when necessary, etc., you can die prematurely. You owe your flesh attention. Yes, we will all die, because men die. But you can try to live the best life that you can in the flesh, and you can live the best life that you can in the flesh and pleasing God, the Lord, Tommy L. Hart. I hope you got that. I hope you got that interpretation of Romans 8:12. You owe the flesh proper attention. And you should live listening to your flesh, being mindful of your flesh, being concerned with your flesh, and please God in your flesh. Please the Lord God, Tommy L. Hart, while in your flesh. Okay. Moving on. Romans 13:14 says, make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. If you say you are walking in 19:14. If you say you are walking in the Spirit, then do not make provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. What does that mean? It means this. If you say you are walking in the Spirit, following the Spirit, do not make provision for the flesh, then do not have a life insurance policy. Because if you do, you're providing for the flesh. 401, you know, retirement programs. You don't have any of those. If you say you're walking in the Spirit, make not provision for the flesh. So then that rules out retirement plans and things of that nature. No savings account. No buying CDs and all like that, government bonds. You're making provision for the flesh if you do, if you say you're walking in the Spirit. Right? You understand that? If you say you are walking in the Spirit, do not provide for the flesh. Get that statement. Do not provide for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. The flesh wants to be warm when it's cold. All right? Do not provide clothes for the flesh. The flesh wants food when it's hungry, and oftentimes before it actually gets hungry, it wants food. You know, don't provide for the flesh if you say you are in the Spirit and you say you are walking in the Spirit and you say you are being led of the Spirit. Do not make provision for the flesh. This doesn't mean only sexual, you know, but it means in life period, as I've described. Make no provision for the flesh. Don't marry, you know, because you're seeking something for the flesh. The flesh gets something from a marriage, or it seeks to get, it desires to get something, you know, from a marriage, from a relationship. Make no provision for the flesh. Okay, and I think you're straight on this. I think you understand me. I've tried to be clear. I've tried to give it to you exactly as it is. Okay. And all of this is, if you say you are in the flesh, if you say you're being led, if you say you're in the Spirit, if you say you're being led of the Spirit, if you say you are walking in the Spirit, then do not provide for the flesh. That's what that statement says. Make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Lust, desires. Desires, okay? Bodily appetite, including sexual appetite. Moving on. Matthew 6:19. Now remember that. Do not make provision for the flesh. If you say you are walking in the Spirit, being led of the Spirit. Okay. Matthew 6. Get this. 6:19. If you say you are walking in the Spirit, you're being led of the Spirit, you love being in the Spirit, then do not make provision for the flesh and lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, which I just said. You know, no bank accounts or nothing like that, you know. No retirement programs. Do not lay up treasures for yourselves on earth. If you say you are doing that, walking in the Spirit and being led of the Spirit at all. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth. But you recognize, you realize you have the common sense to know that you are not in the Spirit, but you are in the flesh. Then, verse 20, Matthew 6, you can lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, as many people do. As many people do. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Okay? Moving on. Romans 8:13. If you live after the flesh, ye shall die. Okay, I spoke on that. If you live and you taking and you're doing all you know to do to make for happy life and healthy life, you know, when it's all said and done, you're going to die. And I'm pretty sure, you know, most of us all realize that you're going to die at some point, you know. Whether you live taking care of the flesh as you should, or whether you live in spite of your flesh, in opposition to your flesh, you're going to die too, okay, at some point. So we know. We live in a body of flesh, and the flesh is not here forever. But while you're here, you can love your flesh, take care of your flesh, and please God, as the law says. As the law says. It's good to know. It's good to know the truth. It's good to know that you, being in the flesh, you can please God. Just because a statement is in the Bible does not mean it's true. It could be a true false statement. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. You know, okay, you can please God. You are in the flesh. Please God. Genesis 41:40, building on this, continuing to build. You so-called spirit-filled people and all like that, you know. Take heed to the word. Eh? If you say you're spirit-filled, being led by the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, do not make provision for the flesh and do not lay up money for yourself and treasures for yourselves on earth in heaven, because the earth is in heaven. Don't lay up treasures for yourself. Don't provide. Make no provision for the flesh. Genesis 41:40. Okay. 41:40. Now, are you led by the Spirit? I've already answered that question. You're not by your Spirit? No. You have to be led by God. Okay? The minister, I've said before, has no authority over you. No matter what level or height the Christian minister has obtained or attained to, he has or she has no authority over you. The Christian minister has no authority. The Christian minister has no power. The Christian minister is now under the law, just as you are. And before, the Christian minister didn't have power. Before God came, before my coming forth, the Christian minister didn't have any power. But they want you, the people, to think they have power. They want you to think that they have authority over you. They have no official authority over you. That's why I call them the lying Christian ministers, because they lie all the time. They lie so much. Open their mouths and they lie. Okay. Listen to this. The word of God says, to me, the Lord God, according to thy word shall all my people be ruled. You don't see anything about a spirit there. That statement is made to me. And it's in your Bible too. You know, so we can all know that. Yeah. According to the word of God, the man having a designation of God, Tommy L. Hart, shall all my people, Gentiles, black people, all my people be ruled by the word of God, who is Tommy L. Hart. Okay. You are to be led by the Lord God, Tommy L. Hart. According to thy word, Lord God, Tommy L. Hart, shall all my people be ruled. 1 Peter 4:6. Says, I want to turn it to it. Okay. Be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God and stop there. You will be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God. It's that men in the flesh there that I wanted to emphasize. Men in the flesh living according to God. Tommy L. Hart. In your flesh. Living in your flesh. Living according to God. First Peter 4:2. That he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh, not in the spirit. Same as in verse 6. Be judged according to men in the flesh. And now in verse 4, verse 2, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. All while being in the flesh and not in the spirit. Living in the flesh and pleasing God, who is the Lord, Tommy L. Hart, the man having a designation of God. You should live the rest of your time in the flesh, not to the lust of men, as in religious men. It means men, but I'm emphasizing religious men who put you under what? Make you do foolish things because you think they have power over you and you think they have power with God. The Christian minister has no power with God. The Christian minister has no official power at all. I do have official power, which the Word of God instructs you not to reject. You are to receive me. The statement I just read from Genesis, where the Word of God says to me, according to my word, according to Tommy L. Hart's word, shall all the people be judged. Yes, the Word of God says all his people. All the people in the domain of God be ruled according to my word. My word, that is the plan. Not according to a spirit, according to the word of the living God, Tommy L. Hart. You should live the rest of your life in the flesh. Two, for the purpose of doing what you should do for God, respecting God, obeying the law to the will of God. No longer live the rest of his, I like that statement, he should no longer live the rest of his life in the flesh. That's an acknowledgement, isn't it? An acknowledgement that you are in the flesh. You know, be judged according to men in the flesh, but you live, you know, to God. You live for the purposes of God. That's one of your purposes in life, to please God, to do the will of God, to do that which is applicable to you, coming from the law of God, Tommy L. Hart. Okay, an acknowledgement. You are in the flesh and not in the spirit. Ephesians 5:29, no man ever yet hated his own flesh. No man. One translation of, one understanding of no man is that's the Bible's secret name for God. And again, yet again, no man can mean no person. And I have to make the distinction live in opposition to the flesh because somebody's told you about a spirit. No man who is God, no man, nickname for God in the Authorized Version Bible, no man does not hate his own flesh. I do not hate my own flesh of skin and all, everything else that constitutes this body. And I do not hate my own people. No man ever yet hated his own flesh. And we need to read that. Let me turn to it, Ephesians, and get out of that statement there. Ephesians. Verse 29. No man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it. Nothing wrong with that. Nourishing your flesh. Cherishing your flesh. Giving due respect to your flesh. Okay. It says no man ever yet hated his flesh. No man does not hate his flesh. No man, the Lord God, Tommy O'Hart, does not hate his flesh. I'm glad to be in the flesh and want my flesh to be as healthy as it can, healthy as possible. You know. Right. Deuteronomy 5:33. Ye shall walk in all the ways which the Lord your God, Tommy O'Hart, hath commanded you. Remember the statement in Genesis where the word said to me that all its people shall be ruled by my word. Okay, here it tells you. You shall walk in all the ways which the Lord your God, Tommy O'Hart, hath commanded you that you may live. That's a clear, understandable statement. Romans 7:12. The law is holy. What law? The law, what many of you have heard me read on this program. The law is holy. The law coming from the Lord God, Tommy O'Hart. The law is holy and the commandment holy and just and good. Follow the law. First day of 5:15, ever follow that which is good. It just said the law is good. The commandment coming from God is good. Ever follow that which is good, which has been identified as good, which is the law coming from God. God's commandments, keeping God's commandments. First Thessalonians 3:8, stand fast in the Lord. Stand fast in the Lord, Tommy O'Hart. Philippians 4:1, stand fast in the Lord, Tommy O'Hart. Stay with the Lord. Get with the Lord. Return to the Lord. Stay with him. Obey him. Follow the law. Be a law-abiding person. In your flesh. Your flesh can't do the law of God. You know, ministers, I've heard ministers say, and hear ministers say, you know, you cannot keep the law. They, again, lying ministers, ain't no need in talking about them. Lying ministers, you can keep the law. I want to read it so you can see the things that are in it. I know, okay, cleave to the Lord, Acts 11:23. Cleave to the Lord, Tommy O'Hart. Not cleave to a spirit. Not cleave to religion. Not cleave to your minister, a pope, or anybody else. Cleave to the Lord. The Lord is here on the earth with men, with people. Cleave to him. Turn to him. Cleave to him. Obey him. Says the law. Romans 7:18. Listen to this statement. This is very profound. I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good thing. conceive, forget what that statement says. In my flesh, okay? Picture this. Yourself, your body, having all the things that came with it, you know, the necessary things, your body, you are alive, your body is there, standing there, sitting there, your body, okay? Now, what he says is this right here. In your body, apart from all the parts making up your body, there dwells no good thing. You know. No good thing. You say the Spirit is good. You say the Spirit dwells in you. He said this. The word says this. I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. He's not putting down the flesh. He's saying there's nothing that was external to my flesh inside me. Now, that is good. It's not a put down on the flesh. It's a put down on you saying a spirit is in you. A spirit has come from without to inside your body. You know, that's the picture. Your body, a spirit, whatever you say, a spirit, and then that spirit coming into your body. The word says, I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good thing. Not even good thing. He doesn't say dwells no bad thing. He says dwell no good thing. For most of us, whatever is in your body came there. You know, it was there at birth. It may have grown. It may have matured. Whatever. You know, but it's part of the package. It's a part of the original package. And the word is saying, apart from that original package constituting my flesh, my body, dwells no good thing. No good thing. Not to mention bad things. A bad thing coming into my body. There is not a good thing that has come from outside of my body to the inside of my body. You say that the spirit, you have a spirit, you say the spirit is good, you say this and that. Okay? That statement is against that statement. If you make it that something has come inside your body that was first outside your body. The statement, we can draw an inference from the statement that, all the things supposed to be in your body are the things that came within it. And now, you know, because of medical science and medical technology and all like that, you know, except the things that the doctors, you know, can install now into your body. You know, that those are good things, you know. Those are good things, and they are, thank the doctor for them. Thank the medical world or the scientists, whoever make them up and all like that. Thank them for them. I remember this. I know that in me, and he makes it clear, in my flesh dwells no good thing. Not putting down the flesh, putting down any external thing that you may hear somebody say needs to be inside you or get inside you. Now, what is the basis for those who teach on the spirit and all? What is their basis? Well, I do know that there are these two statements here. One is John 4, which says, Let's get into it. John 4. Okay. John 4, 24 and then 23. God is a spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And then in verse 23, the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father speaketh such to worship him. Now, they say, you know, just about the spirit, and we've been through statements on the spirit and all like that. And now they come and say, you know, God is a spirit. That's the basis. That's the basis. But that statement, God is a spirit, is an unsound statement. It's unsound. I've talked on it before. You know, God isn't a person, a man, Tommy L. Hart. Okay. I myself disprove that statement. God is a man. The man, the Bible says in Acts, having a designation of God, not the spirit. Okay. So, and then this other statement is Romans. Is it Romans 8, 2? Let's see. Let's see. Romans 7. Romans 7. We know that the law is spiritual. Is it? No. The law is not spirit. God is not a spirit, and the law is not spiritual. Look here. You can't see me, but right now I am looking at the first page of the law. I'm holding the law in my hand. The law is not spiritual. Okay. The law is not spiritual, and God is not a spirit. Let me read these statements here. God is a human being. God is a man. Okay, here we go. The statement says, we know that the law is spiritual. No, we don't. We know now that the law is material. The law is not incorporeal. The law is not incorporeal. It is material. The law is not insubstantial. It is real. It has substance. The law has material existence. That's what we know now. So this statement that says the law is spiritual is an unsound statement. It's not right. The law is material. It has substance, and it can be perceived by the senses. It can be seen by the sense of sight. It can be seen. It can be handled. It is written on paper. The law is material, people. Material property. So, the basis for those who do the spirit talk, if they use these two statements, the law is spiritual and God is a spirit, then the basis for that teaching of spirit is unsound. It's unsound anyway. Okay. And I'm saying it like this because I've never heard a minister actually say this is the basis for the spirit talk. John 4:24 and Romans 7:14. I've never actually heard a minister say that, and I'm not saying ministers don't say that. I'm just saying I've not heard a minister say that. So, God is not a spirit, and the law is not spiritual, and you are not in the spirit, but in the flesh, and you can please the Lord your God, Tommy L. Hart, all while being in the flesh. So, the statement in Romans 7:14, the law is spiritual, it's false. The law is material. So that should do it for the spirit talk. Ministers using the spirit talk do this. They upstage the law. They upstage the law. Spirit talk upstages the law. Upstage to draw attention to oneself at the expense of another. They give attention to the spirit talk, you know, the spirit rhetoric. And the teaching is unsound, as I've shown, unsound, not good. Right? Unsound and not good. Let me read a part of the law. Maybe next time I'll read up the entire law. And as I read it, notice that these are things that can be done by the flesh. You stop. You are in the flesh and you stop at a red light. You know, most of the time you stop at a red light, you know, if not all the time. Why? Simply because the law says so. The law says stop. And you go on green. Because the law says so. It doesn't matter whether you love the law or not. You respect the law because it's the authority. You are under the law. Let me show you one thing. This is good. It goes with what I'm saying. Romans 7, right where we are. Romans 7 verse 1 says this. It has this statement. It says, the law has dominion over a man as long as he lives. Now, it's in question form, but it's a statement. Okay, I see it as a declarative statement. The law has dominion over a man as long as he lives. As long as a man lives and drives, he should stop on red. And if it's safe, and when it's safe, he should go on green. That's the law. The law of God, likewise, the law has dominion over a man as long as he lives. Now watch this right here. Then why is this said right here in verse 6, Romans 7? But now we are delivered from the law. Go back to verse. It states a fact. A principle. The law has dominion over a man as long as he lives. The law of God has power over you, the authority over you, as long as you live. You are not delivered from the law of God. You are not delivered from the law of God. Let me read a part of the law. This, if not all of it. Hear this, all ye people. Give ear, all ye inhabitants of the world, both low and high, rich and poor. You know what? I'll say this. Because when I read it, I want to read the entire law. When I read it, I want to read the entire law. You have only one life. It's in the flesh. Live it. And love it. Remember that. I'll say it again. You have only one life. It's in the flesh. Live it. And love it. Join me again next time when we meet together. Join me again then. Be with me Thursday evening. That's the next time I should come.